Hi, I'm Matthias, and this is V1&O, a podcast from V Magazine and powered by Yuke's, the world's leading online store for fashion, design, and art that lasts a lifetime. On this show, we're diving into the world of stranger fixations and lesser-known interests of some of the biggest names in music, fashion, and media by pairing them with an expert in their field of interest. On today's show, Alex Cooper. Alex Cooper is a podcaster and media personality, as well as a self-proclaimed quote-unquote founding father of the podcast Call Her Daddy, one of the most followed shows in the world, for which she inked one of the biggest paychecks in the history of podcasting. She has millions of listeners who tune in every week for Cooper's personal take on relationships, dating, sex, and basically just being a human in 2021. Alex wants to learn about the ancient art of astrology. What can the stars allegedly tell us about ourselves? Are certain signs more compatible with others? What exactly is a Saturn return? And most importantly, what can Alex's birth chart tell her about her own life? To learn more, we spoke to Susan Miller, arguably one of the most famous astrologers alive today, and the creator of AstrologyZone.com, where she's been providing the definitive horoscopes for the last 25 years. Miller, who boasts a star-studded list of devoted followers, has authored 12 books on the subject, while her website racks up hundreds of millions of views every year. In her own words, here's Alex Cooper's life in 60 seconds or less.
Hello, my name is Alex Cooper, and this is my life story. I grew up in the fabulous Pennsylvania. If you don't know anything about Pennsylvania, it's fine. We're just going to say that's where I was born, but that's not where the story really takes place. I grew up, my dad is a sports television producer, so there was always cameras in my house. And then my mother was a psychologist. It was a perfect concoction to land me in Hollywood. So I always wanted to be in front of the camera, behind the camera. I played Division I soccer at Boston University. After I graduated there, I wanted to make a YouTube channel. I wanted to make it on YouTube. And then a podcast landed in my lap. The idea came from someone being like, hey, you should do a podcast because you can never stop talking. I started the podcast, and after the first episode, it went viral. Barstool Sports reached out to me, and I met with Dave Portnoy, and little thing called Call Her Daddy came to be. It rose to success very fast, and it was a wild journey. I'm only now on my third year, not even fully yet. And the show has now landed at Spotify. I just signed, hopefully, maybe the biggest deal of my life and one of the biggest deals in podcasting. And I'm so honored to be a woman sitting in this chair today, owning that space. And there's only more to come with me and the podcast space. And now I'm sitting here with V Mag.
Nailed it. Well done.
It's kind of hard because there's so many things that are left out, but the elevator pitch, I hope I somewhat did it justice.
I feel like you know yourself pretty well at this point. So you did a good job of like doing your own 60-second biography.
Thank you. No one's actually ever asked me to do that. And I'm used to having to fill 60 minutes of space in a podcast. So I'm used to like really drawing things out. You're like, get to the point. I'm like, oh shit, here we go.
Thank you so much for taking the time to do this. And just after Spotify Day, which was yesterday.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me here. That was such a crazy day. I didn't really know what to expect, but it was really, really cool to have all those articles come out and just see so much of the love from all the daddy gang. Those are my listeners. It was a really sentimental and cool moment that I'll never forget.
It looked like it was amazing. I want to ask you, so being from somewhere that's similar, I guess I would say, as where you're from, which is not like a New York or a Los Angeles, where there's a lot of people who end up working in media, right? What is it like when you go home? Like, I think of it as sort of like Bumblefuck Pennsylvania, even though it is near Philadelphia. So what is going back home like now for you?
It's interesting because for me, it brings me back to like reminding me where I'm from and who I am and like to the core of like where all of my morals came to be. So in a way, yes, it's weird, but because Pennsylvania is so in the middle of nowhere, it feels like that still when I go back. I never thought I would say this, but I do actually get excited to go back to Pennsylvania once in a while. Once I'm there for like more than a week, I'm like, you need to get me out of here immediately. I need to press eject and like fling myself back to the West Coast. but I actually do really like it. And my parents still live in the house that I grew up in. So it has a lot of sentimental value, but it is weird. I mean, like where I live now compared to if I see people that like still live there from my high school, I'm like, how are you doing? Like what's been happening? What's been popping in PA? Right. So there's mixed feelings for sure, but I definitely know a lot of people still listen from my hometown, which is really cool to have supporters there.
I want to ask you a little bit about the show.
Yes.
I'm new to the Dowdy Gang, but I'm in it. And I need to ask you about how many other gays are in it, because there must be a lot of gay daddies in the Dowdy Gang, but that's not my question yet. That's foreshadowing. My question is, I was listening to it and I'm sure you've thought about this before I've been told it. But I was thinking a lot of Sex and the City, because I would watch Sex and the City and be like, this is so unrealistic, because she's writing about the people she's dating and her friends. And like, how come they never talk about the fact that she's kind of airing their dirty laundry? And why would the guys not say like, hey, don't put me in your newspaper column? Like, they just never addressed it. And I was thinking about it because you do a really similar thing where you are documenting your real life and dating and all of that. And so I'm just wondering if you can speak to that a little bit, and specifically, how do you decide what you want to keep private and what you are going to put on the show?
The concept of keeping things private did not get implemented until literally very recently, as in like the past few months, because it's really funny. I remember starting Call Her Daddy, and the men that I was dating, it was, I think at first it's appealing to them. Like I'll go through a little bit of the process because it's fascinating to me and now I know it so well. So I'll start dating a guy. And this was also in the very beginning stages maybe. So like now, it, no shit, you're going to go on a date with me. You know about the show. But in the beginning, it was still like, oh, so what is this podcast? You start dating me and they say, usually, do not talk about me on the show though, please. And then of course I do, because like, I have no loyalty to you. I love my fans more than I love you. Sorry, like, but we're going with that. So I will start talking about something that happened, whether it was positive or negative. It's just life. Hopefully it's positive for them, but if it's negative, it is still going in the podcast. And so once I do it though, usually they act like they don't like it, but I can tell they do. They're like, no, you didn't. You talked about me. And I'm like, yeah. Or they find out themselves, but I can tell their ego, they're so happy to have been mentioned.
Right.
Then, however, once feelings get involved, then it's like a very delicate dance, because they want to stay a part of my life, but they're terrified that I have the power, because God forbid they do something wrong. I'm talking about it on Wednesday. See you there. And they're like, Jesus Christ. It's very difficult. I will say, like in the beginning, I think it was easier when the show wasn't as known. As it's gotten bigger, I've definitely had to pick and choose who I'm dating very carefully, just because I think I get nervous, one, that guys are just dating me for the success of the show and they love the idea of Alex Cooper, Call Her Daddy, like the girl that's probably swinging from the ceiling having sex on her head. Like, what is happening? And then there's also the side too that I think it's hard to find a man that's confident enough to deal with it. But I've always been really upfront that my career comes first, not that I'm going to neglect a partner, but I'm 26 years old. Like, I'm at the very beginning of my career and it's wild to have the success that I've had so far already, but I don't take it for granted. And I don't think any penis is worth compromising the product. So I've been very open about that and candid. And yeah, no, some men have walked out and been like, this bitch is crazy. But others have been like, damn, I really, really respect the craft. And it's been really cool to see who can stick around. And it's even cooler to see my exes as they like shiver in the corner and like hope to dear God that they're not on the episode this week.
Would you say there's a direct correlation of the more a guy is into being on the show, potentially the more narcissistic he is? Like, do you ever see it as a red flag of, this guy seems really into me talking about him?
It's so funny. So I was dating this hockey player. Oh my God, this is going to tie into the episode today, because he was a Leo and I've never dated a Leo. And if you know anything about Leos, well, you know about Leos. And so dating him was fascinating because he was so open and would say like, don't ever talk about me in your show. And then the minute the episode would drop, he would FaceTime me, literally would be like in the middle of his locker room getting worked on by like a PT man. And he has it playing out loud on his phone. And he's like showing all of his friends the segment. And I'm like, you are a liar because you keep bitching at me. And the minute I press upload, you're literally getting off to the fact that you're in the episode. So which one is it, buddy? And so he kind of shot himself in the foot because I then kept going with that. Like I would make little innuendos and like I would put little clues in there and like say certain things that only he would know what I was talking about. And then he would call me and be like, what are you doing? So what's up? What are you doing tonight? And like he would, it was wild and crazy, but it was fun. But yeah, he was a full narcissist. Yeah. He definitely loved it and hated it. Sometimes it was fun to have guys like that because you can really play it up.
It just must be so fun to see everybody's reaction to it, you know?
Oh, it's fun and it's terrifying. Like I remember I was supposed to go see one of my exes that I was dating. I was getting my hair done and the next day I was getting on a plane to go see him. And it was a Wednesday that I was getting my hair done and I was flying out on Thursday. And Wednesday is when I drop my episodes. And I happened to be comparing his dick to the hockey player's dick that I was just talking about. And I didn't go in his favor. My mom like literally was dating him then. And I got a call from him. I actually still have the voicemail to this day. I didn't answer because I was like, why is he calling me? What's happening? And he was like, I cannot believe what you said about me. Don't get on the plane. And I'm head in the, literally in the bowl, like my hair is getting washed and I'm listening to this and I'm like, stop, 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 crisis. And I'm freaking out. I'm like, holy shit, what did I do? Why did I compromise my relationship for the product? And then I ended up working my way out of it and I got on the plane.
Like you always do. Like you always do.
Exactly. Always.
Always. So just before Susan comes on.
Yeah.
Can you just tell me, like, where do you stand with astrology? Why is it something you wanted to talk to Susan about, but also how much does it factor into your day-to-day life?
So I'm fascinated and I'm honestly very curious and I have become more and more curious. I have always been interested because every time I say I'm a Leo, people like would freak out when I was younger. And I'm like, what does that mean? So that's when I started to really do the research and really come to understand what a Leo is. And I think it's extremely accurate and I'm fascinated and I want to know everything about it. And specifically also about friendships, relationship and work dynamics, because now it first started my fascination was relationships, obviously. And now I'm just fascinated with how does this translate first 101. Also, I need like the basics and then I want to build it up and I want to get into the juicy stuff. So I'm so excited.
Okay, chill. Amazing. So when she comes on, I am going to just tell her to like tell us a little bit about herself and then we can just start asking her questions.
Okay, amazing. Let's go.
Let's go, Susan Miller. Hi, listeners. It's Matthias. If you're new to the show, welcome. If you've been with us for some time now, you have amazing taste. I admire your dedication and loyalty, and I consider you one of my nearest and dearest friends, really. Regardless, Ryan and I want more. If you take 30 seconds to subscribe, leave us a review or a rating, we can keep putting V1&O out there for free. So long as it's like a good review or a good rating. If you don't like our show, please just like don't tell anybody about that. If you do any of the above, DM me a screenshot on Instagram and I'll choose a few listeners to receive a free copy of V Magazine's forthcoming September issue. That's it. Later.
Susan. Susan!
Hi, is that you, Alex?
Susan, I am so excited to meet you virtually. I wish I could give you a hug, but we'll just hug virtually.
Yes.
Susan, thank you so much for coming on to do this. My name is Matthias. Before Alex gets into asking you questions / you reading Alex her life and her future, can you just give us a little bit of background on yourself, just if there is anyone who's not familiar?
Well, I'm the founder of astrologyzone.com, which celebrated 25 years on the internet last December 14th, last year. And I have an app called Daily Horoscope Astrology Zone by Susan Miller. If you just search Susan Miller, you can get one. Anyone listening can get it for free. And I've written 12 books and I write for Vogue Japan, W Korea, Turkey, Claudia, Brazil, Amica, Italy. I'm always writing all the time.
Oh my God.
This is so much fun for me because I'm alone writing all the time.
Well, I'm happy you're here to hang out with me because Susan, I usually sit alone in a room and talk into a microphone and I'm always by myself. So this is perfect. This is perfect. We can keep each other company today.
Yes. Oh, you have a beautiful chart.
Oh, thank you. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to hear about it. I'm glad you said beautiful because some people think it's more evil and Tasmanian devil-like. So I'm so excited to hear.
Who would say that?
Probably ex-boyfriends.
I don't know if you can see this.
Oh my gosh.
There's a grand trine, a golden triangle, the best you can get. The person who told you that doesn't know astrology.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I agree.
You have the best you can get. So,
oh my gosh.
Lots of opportunity all through your life. You are born August 21st.
Yes.
Which puts you right on the borderline. Cusp baby. You are technically a Leo, which is wonderful if you're in the entertainment business. I often tell actors and musicians, if you don't have a little Leo, maybe we should think of something else for you. But you're 28 degrees and 6 minutes. It goes to full 30 degrees for every sign. And you have Leo rising, you're a double Leo. And you have the moon in Aquarius, 29 degrees, 29 minutes. Now you told me you were born at 5:30
a.m.
Is that to the minute? Because with your moon, it could easily just a few minutes, like 5 minutes later, be in Pisces.
That is such a good question. Should I text my mother?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Let's text my mom.
So like if it's 10 after 3 or something like that, it matters. And you're born in, New Jersey in Trenton.
Yes. Can you explain to me a little bit about like what you're saying with the degrees? Like there's 30 in each. Like what does that mean?
Yeah. If you cut up the sky into 12 houses, each house has approximately 30 degrees. I use a certain algorithm called Placidus Tropical. That's my favorite. Now, in terms of your chart, most houses are pretty equal. Mine is not. And I have a huge 6th house and 12th house because there's symmetry between houses opposite each other on the wheel. So if one house is big, the opposite one will be.
Wow.
Yeah, my mom taught me. She was a real scholar.
Wait, Susan, I have a question. With the chart, what information can we actually pull from Alex's chart? Like, does it speak to her personality, her future?
Yes. All of the above.
So, Susan, my mom just texted me and she says she thinks it was 5:28 a.m.
A little bit earlier. Then you do have the moon in Aquarius.
Okay. So when you're a rising Leo and then just a Leo, like what is the difference between the rising and then just what your sign is in general?
Well, most people have a different rising, but because you were born at dawn, the sun comes up very early in the summer. And so you are a double Leo, which means you're very Leo. You don't have another influence. Some people may have Pisces rising or Gemini rising or something else. And the rising sign is equally important to the sun sign.
Wow.
They should read for both, but you don't have to. You just read for Leo. And you were born on a full moon.
Oh.
Yes, indeed. You were born on a full moon.
So what does that say about me? Like what?
You'll get a lot of press attention.
Oh my gosh. So like when, wow.
A lot of attention your whole life.
Interesting. So if you didn't know me, like what would you say then those personality traits are of a rising and a Leo just in general?
Well, Leo's confident. Leo needs to go into entertainment. If you have a prominent Leo somewhere, and then that moon in Aquarius, you want to help other people. The moon in Aquarius would bring crowds to your performances because Aquarius rules groups of people. But it also gives you a philanthropic bent to want to help people in some charitable way. And it's part of this beautiful triangle. The moon is part of it. And the moon is your emotions and your memories of your mother, your view of your mother, which you see as very helpful to other people. And your father, you took a lot from your father too, and his confidence. Is he in the entertainment business?
He is.
Yeah, because the sun is in Leo. Sun is father.
Wow.
And look, you have Jupiter at the very bottom of your chart where the six would be on a clock.
Yeah.
And it's within 1 degree of the house of home. So you're going to have a big home, something spacious with a view and big closets.
Oh, I love that.
And high hedges. You want a lot of privacy, or a road that goes far in or something. Lots and lots of privacy.
Susan, do you know where I live?
No, I don't.
Where? I'm like, so that's my house. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Explain to me, like, how many houses are there, and like, what do they even mean? What does that mean?
There are 12 houses covering all parts of life. The first house is you, what you look like, the persona that you project, that you're really you. And the second house is money. It doesn't matter if a house is empty or not, because there's 8 planets and 12 houses. So there couldn't possibly be something in every house, plus the sun and moon, that makes 10, but still. It couldn't possibly be something in every house. Your house of money is ruled by Mercury. And Mercury in your chart is beautifully aspected, sending kisses to Mars and to Jupiter. Your chart is so remarkably good. It's like, can I borrow your chart? Can I be you for a day?
Oh my gosh, Susan.
<It's> so good. And so that's Mercury. Do you have your own podcast?
I do.
Yeah. See, Mercury is talking.
Oh, I can't stop, Susan.
It's also writing, though. You're a good writer, too.
Yeah.
You're a good writer.
Yeah.
No, that's good. The third house is short trips, sisters and brothers, lower education, childhood. You have Venus there. I would think you had a happy childhood. And then the house of home is on the bottom, where the six would be on a clock. So that's the foundation of your life, the home, the family. Everything that you grew up with, but also that you create of your own family, you know, as when you get married. Are you married yet?
No, I'm not.
Okay. That's fine. Not a trick question. Just asking. Let's see. You're born in the 90s. This is too early to get married.
Too early.
Okay. Then here's the house of children, but it's also the house of creativity and love. It's ruled by Jupiter. So you could meet on a short trip, someone that you fall in love with.
That's kind of how I met my boyfriend.
Oh, yeah? Really?
Yeah. I had a 2-week quick trip to Los Angeles when I was living in New York. And we had met on a business meeting on Zoom. And then we ended up meeting in person in Los Angeles. And it was like 2 weeks. And we hung out like every day of the 2 weeks. And then I had to fly back to New York. So it was like a quick, short trip. And then we've kept it going.
But you're still in touch?
Yep. Oh, we're still dating. Yeah, I moved to LA. Yeah.
Oh, perfect. The sixth house is work projects, but not recognition and prestige. It's just the stuff that comes across your desk every day. Like, I could see if a new project's coming in. Actually, I can see with you that you have a lot of projects coming in. I would even think during the pandemic, you were very busy. You used the time well. Would you say?
I was never busier than during the pandemic. And afterwards, yes. Everyone was like wanting to go out. I'm like, I need to rest. I was, yeah. I was like, wait, now I'm ready to not leave the house and nap.
Yeah. See, to show you how symmetrical a chart is, the first house is you, but the seventh house is the person you marry.
Wow.
Or your agent, manager, publicist, people you work with on a one-on-one basis. Actually, the house of marriage is essentially a contractual house. Wow. Someone you have a contract with, and it's serious, like marriage or like taking a business partner or taking on an agent. You know, they all have contracts. You're very stable with people. Like if you get married, it's for life. You have Saturn there. That's the anchor. That's granite. You're not leaving.
No.
You're very careful, and because Saturn makes you careful. But then once you're in, you're in.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, that is kind of my life. Like every time I've ever had a guy in my life, I usually in the past would not make them, I would never say they're my boyfriend because I didn't want to make anything official until I knew for sure. And so my boyfriend now, like it took a minute for me to really commit because I wanted to make sure it was right. But once it's right, yeah.
You're really stable.
Because
it's part of that golden triangle. People are good for you. You know how to pick people that are right for you.
Yeah.
That complete you, like two halves of an apple coming together. You know how to pick partners. And then the very top where the 12 is on the clock, from 11 to 12 on the clock, is the best way to put it. That's the house of honors, awards, achievement, fame. That is your gift to the world.
Wow.
Actually, do you sing?
I jokingly do sometimes on my podcast, and I always joke that like maybe I'll come out with an album one day.
Yeah, I think you will.
Really?
You have Taurus up there that rules the throat, but it also rules talking.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
To some degree, you know, the beautiful voice, you know.
Wow. Okay, maybe I'll come out with an album.
There's something to think about. Then the 11th house is hopes and wishes. You have Mars there. He's the other side of the triangle, one of the three points. One is the family and the house. One is your partners in life. And the other one's your hopes and wishes and friendships. Friendships figure very strongly in your chart. Your friends are good for you. You have Mars there, so you have a lot of friends, a lot of contacts. And then the 12th house is your privacy. It's creative work you do on your own without people around. No, you have just a lovely chart, so I can answer any question you want.
In general, if people are listening to this, like, why do you think some people think astrology is fake?
Well, it's an intuitive reaction. They haven't studied it. I don't know any astrologer who believes in astrology before they study it. Because you say, how could that be? You're looking at a piece of paper. How could you tell what's going to happen? And so people on the outside, until you get into it and see how mathematical it is, you would wonder.
Okay. So like when we're talking about dating, because that's fascinating, obviously, two signs are obviously going to be more compatible. And like immediately in your professional opinion, like are there two star signs that are like the most compatible when it comes to romantic relationships?
Well, no. See, on the front page of my website, Astrology Zone, I have a cute compatibility guide. And you can put in, I am a Leo, my partner is a Virgo, and then reverse it. I am a Virgo, my partner is a Leo. You'll get two different reports.
So you're just saying you could go on and you can find your compatibility? Because I've done that with many relationships. Like,
well, what's your boyfriend?
He is an Aries, and he's the first Aries.
Perfect.
I know. I remember I dated a Scorpio and that was a disaster, and a Virgo and that was a disaster. And then I remember being like, well, then who does a Leo match up with? And I saw that it was a Taurus or an Aries.
See what happened with Virgo there? They like to work all the time and you need to go out sometimes.
Yeah.
Virgo is earth and it puts out fire. What do you put out fire with? Water, which is Scorpio, or dirt, which is earth, Virgo. But for a Leo, Leo, Aries, or Sagittarius are sublime.
Wow. Fascinating. So is there any that you immediately are like, those are not compatible?
Well, see, I believe everybody can get along with everybody else.
Okay, interesting. So can you predict like when couples are not going to make it? Are you
I can't. I think some of the fun of getting along with someone is trying to learn how to dance without stepping on each other's toes.
Yeah.
You have Saturn coming back to where it was when you were born. When you're 28 and a half, it will be there.
What does that mean?
That's a Saturn return. That's very important because it means that you will want to commit to something. You're forming the foundation of your life. So some people write a book, some people start a business, some people get married, some people have a baby. You know, it's something you can't undo later. Like you can't bring back a house to, you certainly can't bring back a baby, you know, but you wouldn't want to undo it because the very reason you're doing it is to add stability to your life.
Oh my gosh, Susan, do you think I'm going to get married at 28? Yeah. We heard it here first, folks.
28 and a half.
Or maybe I'll have a baby first. I've always liked to do things a little different. Wow.
You could. Girls are having babies even by themselves now.
Love.
My number one question is, can I have a baby?
Is there any data or like something in astrology that you're seeing that like CEOs or people that are in charge have something in common with regard to their star signs?
Well, often they have the sun in the 10th house, but that I looked up Richard Branson the other day because I enjoyed seeing him with his rockets.
Why not? Yeah. Yeah.
And I expected him to be a cowboy, an Aries, you know, daring unto the unknown. He wasn't an Aries. Actually, he was born July 18th, but he had Aries on the midheaven. And the midheaven, where the 12 is on the clock, is the gift you give the world. Yours is Taurus. That's why I asked you if you sang, but even talking is good, you know. Yeah. And
well, I'm about to now, Susan. Now you're really exciting me. I'm going to start an album. Wow.
I love it.
Now I'm really going to Broadway.
Or maybe voiceovers. You could do that too.
Oh, I wanted to do that. My whole life I've thought I could do voiceovers.
That would be so good. You know, some people with Taurus on the top become farmers. They own all this land and they have all these vegetables, things growing. They bring them to market.
Maybe that's what I'm going to do when I'm 28, Susan. I'm going to leave the podcast industry, leave Hollywood, and I'm going to the farm. Oh my gosh. I'm going back to Pennsylvania.
We don't want you to disappear. We want to see you. But that, you know, the bull is Taurus and he helps the farmers seed the land. And other people who have Taurus on top, they become very big in real estate or in wine tasting. Taurus has very acute senses and they're excellent wine tasters and sommeliers.
The Taurus does it all.
Yeah. I mean, so you have to grow into that. When you're 40, the midheaven becomes more important. Right now, it's too soon.
It's too soon to start a winery or go back to the farm. Okay. Yes. So Christmas album coming soon. Then we're going back to Pennsylvania. I'm going to open a new farm. And on that farm, I will start a winery. I now have my 10-year plan because Susan gave it to me. So at 21, it's not a kid. It's not marriage. It is. We're heading to the cornfields.
No, well, no, you could. I mean, well, this year, marriage is the big thing for you.
Wait.
Because you have Jupiter, the giver of gifts and luck in your house of marriage. And I wouldn't be surprised if you got a diamond at Christmas time.
He better not. He better not.
Thanksgiving or Christmas.
I would deny it, Susan. I would deny it.
Who would want you to get away? If he's smart, he's going to put a net over you.
I have articulated to him. Yeah, but I've told him if that happens, it's a no right now. My number one priority is my work. And that may be a harsh reality.
But you can do both.
I know I can do both, but first the farm. Honestly, farm is more appealing than marriage right now.
Okay.
Wait, Susan, is it true that the Geminis, like, don't they have like a lot of different personalities going on. Like they
No. That's a myth. And people who don't know astrology usually accuse the
That's helpful.
The Geminis of that.
I think I heard someone say that the other day and I was like, what does that mean? They're like a Gemini.
Well, it's a sign of twins. That's why they say that.
Oh.
I hate it when people say that to the Geminis because I have, my mom was a Gemini.
Oh, so yeah, you're defensive.
Totally
I would be too.
Consistent.
Yeah. You know. Wait, do you have any like favorite signs?
No, I love them all.
No, love them all. Wow.
But if you had to be stuck in a room with one sign for the rest of your life, which one would it be?
Oh, yeah.
No, it's too hard. No one's ever asked me that. No, I love them all. They all have something different to give.
Is there a certain sign that I, like a couple signs that I would be good to be surrounding myself with? Like, I feel like Leo is obviously very dominant.
Well, you should have a few Virgos, you know, just to give you the detail.
Oh, really? Know? Okay. I need to start looking
They're
for
great
those.
With that, you know.
Virgos, got it. I'm going to put that on my list. Find a Virgo. I'm hiring an assistant right now, so maybe I'll be like, what's your star
they're
sign?
They're the best. They'll organize you.
Really? Oh my gosh, I'm going to
any earth sign, Taurus or Capricorn.
Okay, so I will be making sure the first question I ask an assistant is not where did you go to college? It's when were you born?
You know what though? People think I do that and I don't. I use my gut.
You don't?
I don't ask them.
Wow.
I just use my intuition, you know? You can tell a lot about a person by just talking
to them. Susan, are you in a relationship?
Not right this minute.
In relationships, right. Have you, so you haven't asked when you go on dates or you meet people, you don't ask?
Well, in time I do, but not right away.
You let yourself feel it out. The gut takes over.
Yeah.
Wait, and what sign are you?
No, I never say. I really want to keep the spotlight on my
We don't, readers. Yeah. Susan doesn't want the spotlight. It's all about us. Wow, Susan, that's fascinating.
I'm the servant to my readers. I love them.
Oh my gosh. Wait, yeah.
Love them so much.
Such a martyr. Wait, how did you
decide? No, I'm a martyr.
never. Wait, how did you decide not to tell people?
It was professional. It's like a doctor talking about his own problems when you come and visit, you know? No.
So I should stop talking about my sex
Things
life.
Get out of hand on Twitter and Instagram, you know.
Right. People will be starting like blogs about Susan because we'll be wanting to know what is Susan's star sign. Susan, I'm fascinated by you.
Oh, I'm fascinated by you. I come to LA a lot. So
we have to get a nice dinner together and I'm going to grill you because I can't make this one all about me. But now if we're alone, I'm going to grill you about my chart. And then maybe secretly ask you more about you.
I love meeting you. And I think there are no coincidences,
Thank you. This was amazing, Susan. I feel very enlightened and I feel much more educated on the topic.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, Susan. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. New episodes of Alex's podcast, Call Her Daddy, are available every Wednesday only on Spotify. You can follow her on Instagram at Alexander Cooper, all one word. To read Susan's daily horoscopes and explore her zodiac compatibility guides, visit astrologyzone.com or download her app, Daily Horoscopes Astrology Zone, which is available for iPhones and Androids. V1NO is produced by Ryan Killian Krause. I'm your host, Matthias. We'll see you next time.